everybody out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the best little Horde House in Azeroth, the show we like to call Horde House for short, the show about all things World of Warcraft, but never too seriously. My name is Rob Roberts. I'll be joining you over the next hour, 90 minutes, however long it takes for me to talk about Warcraft with Extifer, my co-host. How you doing, Extifer?
Hola!
Hola! How are you? ¿Cómo estás?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Alright, that's all I know. I flunked out of Spanish. How are you doing? How's your week going?
I'm doing okay.
Really?
Just okay. Right. I mean, not much really going on in my week.
Really? Yeah. Pretty boring. You're a pretty boring person, apparently.
Yeah, I like to keep it like that.
All right. You know what? I had a re-root canal today. I'm surprised I'm doing this podcast at all.
Ah.
Yeah. I didn't even know what that was. Apparently no one else does either.
Well, I'm assuming that it's a redo of a previous root canal.
Yes, that's when they screw it up so bad the first time they have to go back in and do it a second time. And true story, I know we're going to talk about Warcraft, but I just have to tell this because it was funny to me. I went into Jamba Juice because what sounds better after a dental appointment than having Jamba Juice, right? So I went in there after the whole thing had happened, and she said, oh, how's your day going? I said, well, actually, it's pretty crappy because I just got back from the dentist. She's like, oh, well, it could be worse. You could have just had a root canal. Like, well, actually, I just had a re-root canal. What's a re-root canal?
Wow. Oh, I know what happened to me this last week.
What?
Oh, I probably have MS.
Oh, well, sorry to hear that.
I do. I mean, it's really true, actually.
he's actually not joking. I feel bad about all the jizz in the eye jokes I was making when you were going blind a couple
weeks ago. That's probably what caused it.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I've got to introduce our guest here real quick. We can talk more about that if you want to in a minute. But, you know, we need to class up the show a little bit because we're starting to get in the gutter a little bit here. So put on your nice suit and tie because we have a nice lady joining us this week. Everybody say hello to one of the hosts of the Warcraft Outsiders podcast. It's a crossover episode tonight. Everybody say hello to Michelle Madison.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Michelle. Happy to be here.
Hi. It's...
You don't have to class it up for me, though. Take off that
Okay, I'll take my pants off then.
Okay.
Christopher will just get comfortable there. So, yeah. Well, you know,
I
think you guys have a good show over there at Warcraft Outsiders. So, you know, I want to put on my nice clothes for you.
All right. Thank you. Much appreciated.
So,
I have chaps on.
You have your assless chaps on, Christopher?
Yeah.
Well, that's him classing it up. I Lady Gaga was in town last night, so maybe Extifer is still hungover. I don't know.
Oh, I guess. I didn't even know she was in town last night.
It was all over the news. How could you miss it? All right. Oh, yeah, you don't watch the news.
No, I don't.
All right. Well, Michelle, let me talk to Michelle for a little bit here, and then we'll talk to Christopher some more about his week and everything else going on. Michelle, what characters do you play in World of Warcraft? What are your mains?
I play a priest, warlock, and DK. I would have to say my main now in Cataclysm has pretty much become my priest exclusively, though. I play discipline mostly for PvE and PvP, but I also do shadow sometimes when I have to, just more to help the guild out.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is no right or wrong answer to this because Extifer is Horde and I'm Alliance, so Horde or Alliance?
I like Horde, but I'm forced to play Alliance right now. So, you know, I do have a love for both of them, but I have to say Horde.
I kind of feel
like
I love Blood Elves. I'm sorry. And I'm willing to get yelled at for it. I just love them.
A lot of the men we know love Blood Elves, too. So it's
I love Blood Elves.
I have a love affair with goblins.
Okay. Yeah, they're kind of funny, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're hot and smexy.
Why do you think goblins are hot? I love the dance that the female ones do, the little single ladies dance.
Yeah.
I just want to penetrate them.
Stop it.
Oh, God. I don't quite have that same feeling.
Oh, okay. I feel embarrassed now.
All right. See what you did there, Christopher. All right. No, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I don't know, though. My main is a dwarf holy pally. That's what I play for my main. And I do love the dwarf females because they're very classy, just like our show. And I my guild and my friends that I play with that's not the show guild, the, like, social guild I play in is an alliance guild because that's just kind of where it started. But now that we have the official guild for the show on the Drendon server, we've been playing on the Horde side over there, and I've been kind of able to get back into playing Horde a little bit, and I really do love the Horde. Like, I love a lot of their story, and I play Tauren. I love Taurens. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I love Taurens. It's like I've said on a previous show, I love the dwarf females and I love the Tauren females. I'm always there representing the big girls. So
oh, it's all about you, Rob.
I know it's all about No, it's all about Michelle tonight because Michelle's the guest. So, Michelle, you've got the show Warcraft Outsiders, which is a spinoff of Video Game Outsiders, which is kind of funny because this show is a spinoff of sorts of Orange Lounge Radio. How did Warcraft Outsiders kind of come to be?
Well, we talked about Warcraft apparently a bit too much for our listeners on Video Game Outsiders for a while. And, you know, it just became something that all of us played and we said, let's give it its own show. That being said, we are on a little break right now. We do that periodically because my co-hosts are not as serious about Warcraft as I am. And that was sort of, you know, our shtick at Warcraft Outsiders was like I was the expert and they were sort of the noobs and they'd ask me ridiculous questions, which sort of worked because a lot of the listeners, you know, really appreciated the fact that we sort of covered things that, you know, other people like me might think was obvious. But John, but my other co-host would ask, you know, ridiculous questions like what's this? But, you know, there's people out there that don't know what that is and that's OK. So, we had some complaints from people who don't play Warcraft. Like, I don't want to hear about this damn game anymore. You know, people who don't play. Mm-hmm. Just didn't get it. It was like a totally different language to them. So now we don't really talk about Warcraft on Video Game Outsiders, sadly, because I would love to. So I'm happy to come on here and get to talk about it again.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you here so you can kind of get your fix until the show comes back. So
exactly. I need it.
What's the cause of the break? Is it a personal, like, just like, hey, I'm busy with my personal life? Or is it like, you know, Cataclysm? I'm not feeling it. Because I'm hearing a lot of people broke because of Cataclysm.
Yeah, a lot of people in our guild, actually, the guild we had for the show, are feeling that Cataclysm, you know, doldrums. They're just like, you know, I'm not into this. I'm taking a break. You know, it's nothing to do with the guild or the show or anything. But for us, as far as the show, it's more like my co-hosts are just Kyle is really, really busy with work. He's actually been coming on VGO just periodically. And John just doesn't play enough where I feel like I was just doing everything. Like he'd turn it on like once a month or something, or like he was just too casual and he gets in his moods of when he plays like, you know, heavily and then he stops. So he's in one of his stopping moods. And I don't know, we're still doing VGO and I do sort of talk about Warcraft maybe for like a minute, like every show, if I could slip it in about like what I did. But so yeah, we'll probably be back in the summer or the fall.
Yeah, I imagine it's got to come up. And I feel your pain because we had the similar complaints on Orange Lounge Radio about you guys talk about Warcraft too much, except it was coming from my other co-hosts. So
that's not
fine.
Good.
I'm going to go start my own show. No. Well,
screw you guys.
Funny enough, Dark Sakura, the lovely lady that's been on the show for like 9 years, she was very anti-Warcraft for a long time. She's like, I don't get why you're so into that game. But she gave it another go just before the Cataclysm release. And now she's like all into it. She has an 85 mage. And she's awesome. She's like getting ready to raid. And it's just really funny how that's all come full circle. She was actually on the show a few weeks ago. So it's just funny that she kind of went from being one of the biggest critics to being won over at a time when most people are leaving WoW to go play Rift or whatever else.
Yes, I tried Rift. I didn't hang with it for too long. I got a character to max level and I was just like, I'm out. But, you know, they had some interesting things with the talent points in it, how you could sort of create, you know, your own custom character. But it just, you know, there is no other Warcraft. I mean, if you're going to play one MMO, you've got to play Warcraft. And I think, you know, people like her just don't knock it until you try it, you know, and I'm glad she went back and gave it a second try because
I think she'd played it the first time during like vanilla and a lot has changed.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It was hardcore then. Like leveling was painful.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Christopher?
Oh, nothing. I was just breathing.
Oh, breathing heavy into the mic.
I'm breathing in agreement.
Still thinking about the goblins, are you?
Yes. Okay. Well, always. I'm wearing a green shirt right now. It's like, oh, can't wait to play me some goblins.
He's even dressing like the goblins.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about the show's break, but sometimes a break can be a good thing. So I'm happy that you're over here. So I'm going to ask you the question that I always ask everybody, every guest that we have on the show. It's a very important question. Why, Michelle, do you play World of Warcraft?
Well, it's the first game where I feel truly invested in my character, almost like it's a little piece of me. I mean, I've been playing since BC came out. I wasn't playing during Vanilla WoW, so I can't really claim to be, you know, one of the old school hardcores, but I've been playing for a long time, and I truly feel like I've been with these characters. They've been through my life with me, and on top of that, it's the social aspect. My boyfriend plays, my sister plays. I of course have the great guild community that I was playing with, and other friends that I play with now. And it's just, I don't know, there's always something to do. And you don't have to play alone, but if you want to, you can. If you have 30 minutes, you can hop on and do something quick. Or if you have, it's going to be a gaming night, you have 3 hours and you want to play hardcore, you can do that too. So it sort of fits, my schedule when it changes. And it just that one thing that stays true, that one game I always want to keep going back to.
I kind of hear you there when you talk about the social aspect, because that's a big thing for me. And it's kind of like that old show Cheers from the 80s,
yes,
when Kirstie Alley was famous for not being a fat dancer. That whenever Norm would walk into the bar, it was like, Norm, everybody was, that's kind of like what it is when I log into Warcraft, Rob,
yes,
that's kind of the awesome feeling about it. So
right,
it keeps me there. I don't know what keeps Christopher there, though, actually.
Yeah, the goblins.
The goblins.
The goblins and the fact that I think if I quit, my guild master would have an aneurysm or something. I don't know.
So you're just there out of guilt?
I'm doing it for her health.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of health, Christopher, I don't want to poo-poo what you were telling me earlier. I just didn't want poor Michelle to sit there on hold any longer. But you were mentioning before about kind of a follow-up to a couple weeks ago. We were making jokes about you're going blind because you get too much jizz in your eye and so forth. But this actually turned out to be something pretty serious, right?
Yeah, I found out that I have something called optic neuritis, which is associated with multiple sclerosis, and they've since done an MRI on it and on my brain, and they found multiple lesions in my brain, which is they don't want to tell me that I'm officially diagnosed yet with multiple sclerosis, because they want to do other things like give me a spinal tap, which doesn't sound fun at all. And so that's the next step. But they're pretty sure that I do have MS. It's just about, going through all this testing and everything to get the official diagnosis, I guess, and to rule everything else out 100%. So that's where I'm at right now. And because of that, it's been really hard for me to play the game. But I have been playing casually. And, I've been playing mostly with my Worgen. I've been doing Battlegrounds and stuff like that. But the vision problem in my left eye, it's still there, even though the pain is gone. They said that the vision will eventually restore, but there is a chance that it could happen again. So just the future is kind of uncertain at the moment. But, everything's cool. I'm not being fatalistic about it or anything like that. Actually, I like to make fun of it a lot. So
yeah, I was gonna say, Christopher, I was not expecting you to share that on the show. So that's well, I wasn't. It's kind of a private thing. So, but I'm glad to hear you're not in pain. That's the most important thing. And
I figure I'll make this show about me, because I'm my own protagonist, right?
Well, and sometimes Warcraft, and you and I were talking about this earlier in the week, is that Warcraft and this show as a part of that can kind of be an escape from all the BS of the real world sometimes. So
exactly. And I figured, since everybody knew about my eye condition anyway, I figured I'd follow up with what really happened. It's not such a big
make
deal.
Me feel like crap for all the jokes I was making on that episode.
Yeah, exactly. That's really the point behind it all, is that I want you to feel like crap. So mission accomplished. I should get a little achievement on the bottom of my vision.
Made Rob cry 10 points.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I'm sure, obviously nothing is changing as far as you playing the game and doing the show moving forward. So we're all just going to think happy thoughts for you and hope everything goes okay. So
yeah, the only thing I miss is raiding. But, of course, my guild is no exception when it comes to the cataclysmic, guild-destroying whatever that's going on, you know, like, and getting stuck in progression and everything like that. And so it's kind of hard for me to watch my guild from a distance, you know, trying to get past Nefarian. They still haven't gotten him down. But I'm still optimistic that they'll do it. And I'm optimistic that I'll be back playing with them, you know, pretty soon, even though I can't give them a specific date yet. So.
All right. Well, we'll be hoping that you can get back to your 8-night-a-week rating schedule very soon.
Hopefully.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, hey, let's get back into the news. Woohoo! Actually, there is some really exciting news this week. You guys have been asking us about it for weeks and weeks, ever since the show started, and it's official. We have a brand new website, hordehouse.com. It launched earlier this week, and some of the folks on Twitter and Facebook got to see it first. But yeah, everything's there. It's an official website now, and we've been doing some blog postings to it. And obviously, that's the place where you can find all the shows now. So if you're trying to get things from the blog spot, that is no longer going to be updated. But everything is now at hordehouse.com. And I've been working tonight on trying to get some forums up too. So it's going to be a very, very filled out site. So go check it out. Hordehouse.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait to write on it.
I bet you can't.
Yeah, I'm going to write all over that thing.
So speaking of publishing websites and publishing things, Michelle, I heard you are a accomplished publisher now at this point, or I'm sorry, accomplished author, having stuff published, right?
Yeah, my sister and I run pophangover.com, which of course includes tons of websites. And our first book from the Damn You Autocorrect site came out yesterday, and our second book comes out at the end of the summer. But yeah, it was a big thing. I mean, we've been working on websites since, oh God, for over 10 years, and it's great to finally have something in print. Not that something on the web isn't good, but when you can actually see something tangible in your hands that you worked on, it feels good.
I bet. That's amazing. So congrats to you. That's
I also like it when I can feel something tangible. Oh, God. Sorry.
I'm sure you do.
And I'm talking about books. What
oh, yeah.
are you guys talking about?
Oh.
Oh, and also penises. Penises and books. That's okay. Pretty much the gist of that.
All right. Well, yeah, the day that Extifer has a published book at Barnes & Noble, I don't know. That's they're going to have to put that plastic wrap around it so that...
Just think about the book Sea Spot Run and add a lot of cum.
Right, look.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But yes,
steal your thunder.
I think millions and billions of people have seen that Damn You Autocorrect website, and it's yeah. really hilarious. And I as an iPhone owner, I have had plenty of those moments myself. Like what the hell? Like that word. So that's awesome that you guys kind of I don't want to say like figured it out first, but kind of like got that idea.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. early on, and have really had a success with it. So, congrats to you guys.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk a little more about Warcraft. Every week on the show, we like to talk about how was your week in Azeroth and what are the sorts of things that you are up to lately. Extrafer, I'll start with you. You've already kind of clued us in. You're doing a little more casual, but what have you been up to?
Arathi Basin, pretty much, just to expand on what I was talking about earlier. A friend of mine and myself, we've been leveling Worgens, and I think we're 24. 5 or 26, maybe more than that, but I don't know. But anyways, we've been doing a lot of Battlegrounds whenever we come online. We don't do Warsong Gulch at all because we both hate it with a passion. So all we do is queue for Arathi Basin at the moment until Eye of the Storm comes out. And then I'm sure, or, you know, when we level enough to get Eye of the Storm. I'm sure we're going to get to do that battleground too, but that's pretty much my week.
How's the leveling through PvP? Is it actually a pretty decent pace?
I don't really notice it very much at this point. We lose a lot. We're Alliance, so we lose a lot.
But you have been two times, which makes up for it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Silver lining. Mm-hmm. We lose a lot, but so I don't know. I'm not sure at this point how experience works in Battlegrounds. I'm kind of a noob when it comes to this stuff, so I don't feel like I'm gaining a lot of experience, and I don't know if it has to do with losing or maybe I'm just not killing enough people. I don't know.
I think it's tied to honor, but I'm not sure it's the honor from kills. And that's why I always thought that Warsong Gulch is not a very good battleground to try and level in, because it's strictly tied to if your team can get flag caps or not. But I will say, on my priest that I'm leveling right now on the Horde server, I randomly did a battleground over there, and I did a Warsong while it was Warsong Holiday this last weekend, and I gained like over a third of a level in one battleground, because we got like three flag caps and then one on a holiday weekend. So
yeah,
it's a lot.
And do you guys have BOA gear for those tombs? That helps a lot too.
Well, I'm on a brand new server with my warden, okay. So I see. Yeah. I have to go by the guild perks, which my friend, the one I'm leveling with, he's a part of a pretty big guild, and I think they're level 18 or 19 or something like that. So, I mean, that helps a little bit, because, you know, you get the little experience boost with that. But, I mean, he's decked out in heirlooms,
yes.
And he's already like two or three levels ahead of me just because of that, so...
And the situation on Drendon's even worse, because we literally just started an official show guild there a couple weeks ago, which plug, best little horde house. No, oops. Best little horde house on the horde side on Drendon. More information available at hordehouse.com. We just started that. So the guild is still level one, because nobody's tune is a high enough level to gain XP. So we have no perks, no heirlooms. But a lot of the feedback I've been getting from the people that have been playing over there is that it's kind of fun to start from scratch. It's kind of fun to have start this whole new thing from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And it's more like a challenge. A lot of people have been viewing it as a positive challenge to it. So, yeah, sadly, no heirlooms over there. But it's been slow going, but it's been good.
Yeah, we do have some people that transferred their tunes from other servers.
Yeah, as people are starting to learn, like, wow, they're not screwing around. They really are going to do this guild thing on Drendon. We've had a few people transfer like level 80s, like maybe alts that they never got around to leveling in Cataclysm. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where I feel like I'm probably going to transfer one of my 80s, you know, that I haven't started with Cataclysm yet, and I feel like, you know, hey, maybe that's kind of a good thing, because then I get to transfer all my heirloom stuff over if I wanted to.
Part of me wants to transfer my druid over, because I have a horde druid that I played back in Burning Crusade that I could bring over, but I'm really loving priest right now. Like,
I love priest. Good choice.
I'm a healer by heart. Like, you know, my main is a holy pally, and that's, you know, what I really love doing in raids. Like, I can't do tanking, and ever since the changes to Rhett Paladins in 4.0, I'm not feeling it so much. So Holy Pally's been where it's at for me, and I just kind of switched and I went over to Holy Priest, oh my gosh, it's so easy. Like, if you go look at the Twitter for Horde House, I was healing an instance the other day, and I was tweeting while I was doing it, because I was just like, oh, all I have to do is put up a shield and a renew. I'll tab, da-da-da, check my email, write a tweet, da-da, oh. Renew the shield. No, it's very easy. It's getting a little harder now, but
you know what else is getting a little harder now?
And what else about your week, Extrovert?
It's my penis.
Yes, I figured that.
Okay, I just wanted to double check.
I know the sound of my voice drives you crazy, but try to contain yourself.
And your picture on the site. I am so hot right now.
Shut up.
I can,
all right,
you know, melt my computer. Like, anyways, that's pretty much it with my week.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been playing that much, so that's it.
All right. Well, understandable. All right. Michelle, what have you been up to in WoW? We know what characters you play, but what's a week look like for you?
Well, I've mostly been playing on one of my priests, because I have multiple. Shelly on the Tachondria server, and I raid with a guild over there, and we killed Defarion finally. So it completed the whole... all the bosses for the new raids and all the heroics. So I got the Defender of a Shattered World title, which I'm rocking. It's so long. I'll wear it for like a day and take it off.
That is so awesome though. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it was really great to kill him, because I think for a non-heroic raid fight, he was pretty rough. I mean, we had, you know, it took us a while, even though we raid casually, you know, we're not in there every night or even multiple nights a week, but It was pretty challenging, but I think just the right amount of challenge there. So that did feel good, and congrats to everybody who's killed him, because it is a pain in the butt fight. But other than that, I am more of a PvPer at heart, compared to raiding. Like, I think for PvE, I see it once and I sort of get bored with it. Like, I'm not into the whole grinding and killing the same thing over and over and over for gear. I just love killing people. I love going in BGs. I do arena a bit, but I'm just more about the BGs, and raided BGs have been a lot of fun too. So I have been doing basically tons and tons of grinding in Battlegrounds, and I love healing. I love my priest. It is like you say, Rob, I throw the shield on, and they've buffed bubbles now, so they're actually useful again, because priests were in a very rough place, a couple of patches ago. So, when Cataclysm first came out, but now I'm really liking them again. I feel strong. I can't get any more upgrades as far as gear unless I was to get my arena rating up.
Oh,
So,
wow.
yeah, I mean, I'm all in epics, feeling strong, and it takes a couple of people to take me down, which is always a good time.
Now, see,
So yeah, that's about it for me.
I did not realize you were such a PvPer, Michelle, because I kind of always thought you were more of a PvEer. In the episodes of Warcraft Outsiders I've listened to, I know you've talked about, your rating and so forth, and so it's kind of interesting to hear you
Well,
talk
I'm
about your love
doing
of PvE now.
both. Yeah, I'm doing both, and I've always done both. It's just more like which I truly enjoy. I really enjoy PvP more, and to me, PvE gets a little boring. Like, I never get bored with PvP. So while I do both, like, I just feel like, I'd much rather fight another person than some, boss mechanic that I have to learn. Because when you're fighting another person, you don't know what's gonna happen. You don't know what they're gonna, react, what they're gonna throw at you. It's different, depending on the class or depending on the skill level of the player or how many people come at you. So it keeps it fresh. I think PvE to me is like, once you learn it, you know what to do, it just becomes like, auto run mode.
What are the battlegrounds that you enjoy? Because we've had some PvPers on previous episodes of the show, and we get into big arguments about which battlegrounds are better. So I'm kind of curious what you prefer.
Well, I like the non-vehicle battlegrounds. And I really like the two new ones, the Battle for Gilneas and the other new flag one. I forget the name right off the top of my head.
Twin Peaks, like the old
Yes,
show
Twin.
with the dancing midget.
Yes,
Yes.
exactly. Twin Peaks. So I like Warsong Gulch, and Twin Peaks probably the best. I love the flag ones. But Rift actually had some interesting PvP modes I wish Warcraft would sort of take on. They had this one that I think Warhammer had too, where you had to hold on to this device for a long time, and you took damage while you were holding it. Sort of like Oddball and Halo, if people play it. And I wish Warcraft would sort of introduce another game type. So you had to hold on to this thing, and whoever was holding it, the team would get points, and you had to kill the person and get it. It sort of went back and forth. So while I do like, Arathi Basin style and flag games, I feel like we are maybe due for another type of gameplay, hopefully in the next
Right.
expansion. Because I
I
don't like the
agree.
vehicle stuff. To me, it's just like, eh, get them out of there.
Yeah, I don't like the vehicle stuff either. And like you
Good.
said, I played Warhammer to level cap,
Okay.
and I remember that. And their PvP was pretty nice.
Yeah.
That was the reason why I played the game. So, yeah, I agree.
See, I'm torn. My favorite battlegrounds, and I think this kind of goes back to me being a healer, my favorite battlegrounds are the massive battlegrounds, like the 40-man
Oh,
battlegrounds. So,
AV?
yeah, I love AV, and I
Yuck.
oh, you should go play with Irene and Parm. They'd love you.
Yuck.
My favorites are AV, and I love Isle of Conquest. And I know you're going to cringe at that one because that's a big vehicle battle, but I love Isle of
Yes.
Conquest. It's just so
Yep.
talk about different. There's so much crazy stuff going on there, and I love like jumping down into the castle and everything. It's so rad. But do you think we're due for another battleground at some? I mean, I know that sounds kind of like, wanting the cake and more because we just got
I
two new
know.
ones, but it
But
seems.
different types of ones. When's the last time we've gotten a different type of one, really? I don't
Yeah.
know. I guess I think we're due. I don't think we're going to see this expansion, though, but hopefully in the next one they will introduce something different. Because to me, PvP is still like the ugly redheaded stepchild of the game. I mean, it doesn't seem like it gets as enough attention compared to PvE. And maybe that's just me being bitter because I do enjoy it more, but I don't know. I want to see new stuff. I'm looking forward to
I
that.
always thought a lot of the problems that they were having with PvP was balancing the skills, and just the fact that they didn't want to have two separate skill sets where one
Yes.
thing does one thing in PvE and it
Acts
does something else in
differently.
PvP, even though
Yeah.
we already have a lot of things like that. Things like
Yeah.
Snap and Polymorph have to work differently in PvP.
Right.
So I don't know. Is there an easy answer to help revamp PvP? What are the because you mentioned some other games like Rift and Warhammer and so forth. Is the answer in what how those games are doing it?
Well, you know, Rift was just completely broken as far as balance when I was playing. I don't know if they went and fixed it, but warriors could, like, one warrior, if he was 10 levels under you, could kill like 7 people. So I wouldn't say they want to look to them as far as balance, but, you know, maybe just, I hate to use this term, but thinking outside the box a bit, I think Warcraft sort of, you know, sticks with what works and they sort of go with it. And I haven't seen them as far as PvP, like, go beyond that, you know, with a different game type or something. And so what if it's not balanced straight away? You can fix that, which they are good at. But I think the answer may be having things act differently in PvE and PvP. I don't see why they're so hell-bent on trying to make them act the same. You know, maybe something doesn't work in PvP, or maybe it's PvP only, because a lot of times you'll have a skill that people like and it'll be overpowered in PvP, so they just tear it down, and then people, you know, who are PvEing, like, you know, warrior tanks or something, it might be a tool that they use but was too overpowered in PvP, and now they're sort of suffering for it. So maybe they should be somewhat separate. Maybe there should be some separate skill sets. I don't see what's so wrong with that, but maybe it's just too complicated or complex for people.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, there's and or they can add things like, you know, Life Bloom with druids. You know, the bloom from Life Bloom is a lot more powerful in a PvP environment than it is in a PvE environment. And so what did they do when they said druids were too overpowered in PvP? They just nerfed the bloom of Life Bloom, which PvEers don't care about. So if they can find that nice balance right there where they can actually do something to one and not have it, you know, have an adverse effect on the other, I think that'd be great. But I mean, it would just make so much sense to me if they could just, you know, make every ability just have its PvP thing that it does and the PvE thing that it does and just call it a day. You know, just it would take away so much frustration
I
that
wouldn't
we
mind
like
that
to
if it was separate
yeah.
somewhat, you know, not totally different, like you're playing a different character, but, you
Right.
know, obviously, like, CC lasts less time in PvP if it does in PvE. Just little things like that, like altering them somewhat so they act differently so
Yeah.
you don't have to totally get rid of them.
Yeah, and they can have it in the tooltip, you know, the PvP use and then PvE use or something like that, something
Non-player
generic.
character, which I've
Yeah.
seen somewhat. They'll say, like, you know, non-player character does this against, you know. So they are starting to do that, I think, more and more. So, like you say, if it's the proper balance where they're not ruining something in PvE, because that's not fair either. I know that was the old argument with Death Knights. I know, like, Frost Presence was too strong in PvP, so they nerfed, like, tanks, because I was tanking at the time, and of course Frost was a presence you use, and I remember that was, like, annoying for me, even though I liked PvP. You know, so like you say, it's all about the balance, and hopefully they'll starting to find that.
Yeah.
Well, you brought up a couple interesting things I actually want to ask about real quick, because my brain started going here when you mentioned you were kind of comparing one of the modes that you played in Rift to Halo Oddball, and it kind of made me think, like, wouldn't it be neat if maybe in WoW, and not to be like that telling Blizzard what to do, but I am.
Go for
Wouldn't it
it.
be neat, like, if we could, like, customize battlegrounds a little bit, which I
Yes.
realize might be really hard to do in a, especially the matchmaking environment, and when you have like 20, sometimes 80, literally 40 Alliance, 40 Horde going into a battleground, it's hard to find the customization everybody likes. But maybe like small little tweaks, like whenever you're carrying the flag in this battle, you're going to be taking damage slowly, or the towers in this round of Alterac Valley are going to be surrounded by fire, so you have to be quick when you go to cap them or whatever.
Well, like that war games thing, which I haven't tried, which I know you can set up and you can sort of verse each other. It'd be cool if they wanted to test it out maybe in the war game setting, like giving us just things to fool around with. I could see people in guilds, especially PvP oriented guilds, you know, having a war games night if they could maybe control some of the things like you're talking about. You know, it would be just be fun. It'd be different.
Yeah.
And try to see what works. I mean, some of the most fun games in Halo, not that I liked Halo really. I'm more like a slow paced shooter kind of girl, but used to be the games people made up. They actually made up that game Zombies, which they now use. So who knows what the community could come up with tweaking some of the things that are already there.
My favorite first person shooter was Prey because it was so easy mode, you never died. If you ever died, you just went to the
I
spirit
played.
wheel, then you'd shoot a spirit world and you'd shoot a bunch of birds and you'd go back. It was great.
I remember
Awesome.
when you got that
And
game. I was living with
I
you,
beat
right?
it. Yeah, it was a
Yeah.
long time. It was when Xbox was
That
first
was the
out.
Native American and starting off in the bar arcade, right? That's
Yes.
like as far as I got. I went into that crazy world and I was like, I can't
It
handle
had
this.
this beautiful story. The music is amazing. The music's by Jeremy Soule Soule or something is his name. He's the guy who does like Guild Wars and Oblivion and all those great
Oh yeah.
soundtracks,
Love
right? And
Oblivion.
so the music is amazing. The graphics are amazing. And the story starts off with this awesome setup with the bar and everything. And the game goes on for about, you know, 15 levels and builds and builds and builds and then just ends. Like just out of just ends. Like, oh, we ran out of money. We better end it on this level. It was crazy. I couldn't believe they announced a sequel. Anyway, sorry, getting a little off topic. But I want to go back to Battlegrounds. You mentioned that you do rated Battlegrounds. That's something we've never talked about on this show because I can never get enough people together to do rated Battlegrounds. How does that work? How are you liking rated Battlegrounds?
Oh, I love them. I think they're all down to 10 player ones now. They were alternating between 10 and 15. And I think that sort of was the problem. People couldn't get 15 people together. So now they're making it where it's going to be 10 every week. So luckily, there's a lot of people who like to PvP in my guild that I'm in right now. So we sort of get together. But it is a little bit of a pain. I have to admit, although I love them, when I first heard about Rated Battlegrounds, I was so excited because I figured, okay, I can just queue for these, you know, I'm going to be rated for how good I am and how many kills I get or how many flag captures I get or whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it would have to be something we had to organize. Now I know why they did this, but you know, it's not very accessible, which is why I think people haven't been really partaking in them. I mean, I think it's a very small percentage of people who are actually using the rated Battlegrounds, which is a shame. They need like a matchmaking system, I think, perhaps.
I think 10 might just be too many. Like, you know, one of the things I've liked about PvP when it comes to arena is that, you know, you can do it with two or three.
Yes.
I would like to see maybe some Battlegrounds for five. And yes, I realize that arena is there's a 5v5 for arena, but that's just a clusterfuck is the five arenas are just like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So
I don't like fives. Yeah.
Why not some of the smaller Battlegrounds? Like, I could see something like Battle for Gilneas easily being a 5v5, and it would work.
Even if it was smaller, if they made the map smaller, or maybe took out one of the flags or did something to alter it. But I would love to play, you know, with five people.
Yeah.
I don't see why they don't allow that. Or even if you could get five people together, maybe they merge to five groups. That would at least be easier for most people to get, you know, four friends instead of nine.
Imagine AB with or AV or something, a big battleground with just five people.
No.
I mean, in a way, it would be fun because it's like a cat and mouse fight.
I think a lot of people that hate AV might be like, oh, this isn't so bad. Because a lot of the big complaints about AV is that it is just this big orgy of people all killing each other in the middle. And,
it's
if you're at one of the choke points, you know, if then that's where all the action is. But if there's not going to be a choke point if it's 5v5.
Right.
It'd be interesting.
That'd be fun.
Stick around, that could be interesting. I'd like it better now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. We'll see. Unless they add vehicles. If you could ride the boats in AV.
Then, no. All right. No vehicles. I want my own vehicle.
All right. Well, we kind of deviated from your week in Azeroth, but that's okay. That's what happens on this show. So is there anything else you want to share about your week and what you've been doing?
No, just looking forward to getting in more Battlegrounds when the show ends tonight. Not that I'm rushing you guys or anything.
All right.
You're getting in the PvP mood.
Tapping her foot. I got to get in there.
Yeah. No.
I got to get my conquest points for the week. All right.
Seriously.
All right. My week in Azeroth. I'll keep it brief because there's actually not too much going on. I've been playing with my priest, my holy priest / shadow priest. I've been leveling almost exclusively through Dungeon Fighter since I rolled her about 2 weeks ago and been having a good time there. But now things are starting to slow down now that I'm up to 47. I think I dinged 47 last night.
Oh, yeah. That's the level where it starts to get a little eh.
Yeah. And the Dungeon Finder just like, you know, I'm getting Dire Maul and Shulamance, which I enjoy doing those instances once, but then I don't like to get them over and over. So I've kind of reached a point where I really have to juggle the questing and the dungeoning. But I have this dumb little goal with her to get my classic Dungeon Master achievement when she hits like 62 or whatever level, you can't do them anymore. So I've tried to make sure, even if I have to force my way into the dungeons, that I can do every single dungeon at least once. Because you know what? The reward for doing a random isn't that great. Like, you get the bag that has a blue in it, but do you know how often I get some stupid agility stamina ring or something, and it's like, I'm a priest dummy, you know?
And if you run an instance multiple times, or, you know, you do the random Dungeon Finder multiple times, and you keep getting those bags, and it's the same freaking item over and over and over again, it's like, okay, I get it.
There are these shoulders. It's like 9 stam, 9 intellect, 9 spirit. Now, don't get me wrong, I need those because I don't have heirloom shoulders. I needed them once, not 7 times. I've gotten that item 7 times. Crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've been doing more questing, which is cool because now I get to play with the Shadow Priest side of things, which I haven't like used a lot. And It's great. I melt the faces of things so quickly before they even get to me. It's just, you know, mind blast and then do the little vampire embrace thing, or no, mind flay. And, you know, they're slowed down. They hardly even get a chance to attack me. So it's been great. Leveling Shadow Priest has been pretty easy. And I noticed that the experience from questing, it isn't as slow going as I thought it would be. Like right now, my character is out in Tenaris, and I've been gaining levels at a pretty decent rate. I was really pleased. And then PvP, great alternative too. Like I did the one war song, tried to get into an AV, but it takes a long time to get an AV when you're Horde, I found out. It was never a problem on my Dwarf Paladin. I always get right in those. But yeah, now it takes a little bit longer. So was hoping to get in there because despite the fact that, you know, it's a huge battleground with, you know, just so much going on, you get a lot of great XP in there because every capture, every kill of the, you know, people gets a lot of XP. So I was trying to use AV to level, but that hasn't been so successful.
There's a way to cheat in there too. You can also go into the caves and kill like mobs.
Oh, and
while XP. You get XP from them while you're getting the battleground XP. I used to do that, but yeah, you probably want to.
I'm going to write that one down. Kill the caves. I thought she was going to say, oh, what you do, you just put num lock so your character keeps running,
and then you go
AFK, make yourself a sandwich.
No, you still want to be in there being active. You'll be like top damage at the end of the game too, so you'll look good.
As a priest, that would be something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Nice. All right, I'm not even lying. I'm going to try that trick after the show. Michelle's going to go do a raided battlegrounds. I'm going to go exploit some experience. Seriously. All right.
You know what's funny is that I'm leveling a priest too. My worgen is a priest.
Oh, good.
So all three of us are
We're priests. Like priest triplets. Yeah. Adorable.
Yeah. How cute.
Yay. I don't want to be related to you.
Now, don't say mean things like that to the guest, Christopher.
No. I'm saying it to you. I like our guest. You,
well, thank you.
It's questionable.
You like AV, so you must suffer.
Ah, haters.
All right, we're mind flaying you right now.
All right. Well, that was pretty much my week. It's just been focusing on my priest. As far as my main goes, I will say I don't get to do the extensive amount of raiding because our guild, again, we're really challenged to get even 8 online. But we did have 9 online on Tuesday night, so we got to go do the Al'Goloth battle in Barad-dûr Hold, and it was nice for change to one-shot the guy. Just went right in, killed the guy. That felt great. That was an accomplishment, so I was happy about that. But otherwise, my main's just been kind of on hold. Like, my dwarf priest, I have hardly been touching her. And it's not, like, it's just that, you know, we're not really raiding. I've gotten every reputation exalted. I could grind the crap out of Valor points, but I don't really want to because I know in this next patch we're going to have the new 5-mans that are going to have purples in them. So I'm just kind of holding out, waiting for that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Hopefully soon. All right. So that does it for our weeks in Azeroth. Let's go to Extifer with the news. What is going on in World of Warcraft? There's a bit this week, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's an easy week to figure out what to tell you guys on the news.
You don't have to make up the news tonight.
Yeah, I know. I don't have to be like, so there's a new hotfix that's coming out today.
I hate that.
three things I wanted to point out. The first thing is that, just like I predicted, the Winged Lion mount is going to be the new Sparkle Pony. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the next item on the Blizzard store with their microtransaction page, I guess, you can buy mounts and pets on. So you'll see it everywhere. I mean, personally, I think the Winged Lion mount looks kind of ugly. At least the Sparkle Pony was kind of nice on the eyes, you know, even though you saw it everywhere. I just can't imagine. The whole game's going to be filled with these ugly purple lions with, I don't know, yellow wings.
See, I called it the Golden Afro Sphinx. That's what it looked like to me. I wrote a thing for the website, and it looked like, because the way the gold is, it looks like an afro on its head or something, which is fine. I got to admit, I actually like this thing better than the Sparkle Pony. I do. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. I like this thing, but I'm not going to spend $25 on it.
I mean, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if you. To me, like, a mount doesn't have to always look good, you know? It needs to look at least unique, and that's what the Winged Lion mount looks like, at least. It's unique. Mm-hmm. The problem I have is that Whenever there's a unique mount, let's say Mimiron's head, you don't see that everywhere because it didn't drop for everybody, and so you only saw it once in a while. So it made the experience of seeing it in game unique. You don't see the Phoenix everywhere, that drops from Tempest Keep. So when they put a unique looking mount in the game and they make it, purchasable, I think that kind of diminishes the appeal of it,
I
and now
agree.
it becomes this ugly thing that you're going to see everywhere.
I hate my Sparkle Pony now. I
Oh,
really
really?
do. Yeah, I bought it because it came out. I think it came out on my birthday, and I was like, "Oh, it's a sign. I need this." But
But
like, I thought there was a limited. Yes, I
rationalize.
did. I did. I thought there was
Saw
like
it the
a
first
limited
time.
amount of them, though. I was like, "Oh, there's only look at the like because they had like a bar on the side like with stock left, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, it's gonna be limited." If they did something like that, I think maybe it would be cool. First 5,000 people or something. That would be great.
Yeah.
But it's you're right. They're all over the place. It's not
Yeah.
special anymore.
Michelle, I got to tell you, I regret my first time too. I bought a
What did
the
you
pan
buy?
I bought the panda monk pet. Because I love pandas, so I'm not gonna lie. Like, even though, like, if Pandarans ended up being a playable race in WoW, that would be one of the dumbest things that ever happened to the game. But I would so be playing one.
You and everybody else, and
Yeah.
also playing my goblin.
But and then they were like, oh well, like part of the proceeds are going to be going to charity, and that was my enabler. I was like, oh, it's charity. I can buy this. It's okay. It's charity. Yeah.
Yes.
How often do I use that thing? It's actually kind of annoying. Every time you take it out, it's like, oh, what? It just makes all these
Yeah.
noises while you're trying to do things.
You racist.
That's what it really sounds like. I'm not
It
being
does.
racist. Blizzard's the racist.
They're number one racist. Yeah, so I think that when I first saw the Sparkle Pony, when it was originally data mined, I was like, oh, that looks so awesome, because it totally reminded me of like Ulduar, you know what I mean? And Algolon, and everything. I'm like, is this gonna be like a special drop if you beat Algolon? That's what I initially thought. I'm like, it's kind of weird because it's like a couple patches later, but whatever, I was like all gung ho about this mount. And then when they made it purchasable, I was like, okay. That just, I don't want it. So
Well,
I don't know. We'll see how this new mount
I want
goes.
to quickly read some of the feedback we got on our website at hordehouse.com, because we actually ran a story on this little blog opinion post earlier in the week, and we invited our listeners to respond about, did you buy the Sparkle Pony? If yes, are you going to get this mount too? Why or why not? So I want to share some of the responses real quick, if you're okay with that, Extifer.
I'm
All
fine.
right. Linaya commented, I didn't buy the pony. I was thinking about it, but then I saw the cute little Windrider and Griffin plushie, which came with an in-game pet. They are better than any sparkly pony. I forgot about those plushies that came with the pet. Now that's kind of cool, because you get
Yeah.
something tangible with something like, in the game. That would be
I
cool if
agree.
they'd throw in something like, I don't know, a little furry afro thing for me to, I don't know, have with my stuffed animal collection
For
or
you to
something.
bang? Is that what you were just gonna say?
I knew you were gonna go there. I tried to
Really
choose my words carefully.
strange.
All right, Essex commented, didn't buy the Sparkle Pony and I have no desire to buy this. That said, I would buy it if one had proceeds to charity, especially Japan Relief right now, which Blizzard hasn't done anything for that I'm aware of, or if they made buying one of these allow a Lobby character to fly, but I know that ain't happening. Yeah, if level one characters could suddenly fly, I think that would really screw up the balance of the game. But I have heard people rationalize their Sparkle Pony purchases by saying, well, it lets me have a mount right away, no matter where I'm at. Because you do get the rideable, just the non-flying Sparkle Pony at level 20, right?
Right, you never have to buy another mount again. It gets mailed to all your characters, which is nice. It's not just one. So.
Nice.
Quick, couple more comments here. Phantomus commented, I bought the Sparkle Pony only to gift it to my wife because she thought it looked cool and wanted it. I don't have it on my account, though. The one nice thing I see about it is that each character you currently have and each character you create afterward will automatically get it, just what we were talking about there. Personally, I feel that yes, Blizzard is double dipping a bit with having both subscription fees and microtransactions in the game. To have a simple item code flagged on your account should not cost the same or similar amount that it costs for your character to change races, factions, or servers. The most costly operations are and should be a bit more pricey, still more pricey than I feel they need to be, than vanity transactions. At most, vanity transactions should be no more than $15, in my opinion, mount or not. Hell, they're common enough as it is, may as well make them more affordable.
Right. I don't know. I think that I do think that $25 for a mount is kind of ridiculous. I mean, I think I don't know. And also, I mean, there should be more of a variety of them in the game, in the store. If they're gonna make something keep saying the word. I hate that word. If they're gonna make something for sale, then they should at least give you a ton of options
The
instead
blue
of these
one and the
onesies.
red
So you will
one and the
always
purple
see the
one.
same two mounts. Yes,
Yeah.
agreed.
Yeah. So I don't know. The next item on the list of news tonight is that they. Oh, I wanted to back up for a moment because I heard the Japan thing. He said that he doesn't know that Bl if Blizzard's done anything for the Japan relief thing. But I can say that I did read a Blues response because somebody had posted about this on the forum saying that Blizzard's doing nothing. And the Blue response was that while the company hasn't done anything, externally, they've done stuff internally. I guess their employees are donating, within Blizzard to relief through the Red Cross. So I mean, there's at least a little bit that they're doing, I guess. But otherwise, I mean, really, I mean, we shouldn't always expect every company to, give. But yeah, it would be nice to see, them make a big.
I think Extrovert, though, it is kind of hard. Like, yeah, I mean, you can't help everybody. Like, I get that.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it's hard to kind of say that and then kind of look at Blizzard and say, oh, they're charging $25 for that mount. And I already
And the
pay
timing of
the
it,
game.
would it kill them to give a percentage of it away? I think no.
Yeah, I think they definitely should. I mean, with a if they're going to sell virtual items like that, that you're only going to use in one game. I mean, you might as well give proceeds to something that benefits a certain group of people, you know what I mean, that are going through rough times. So whether it be Make-A-Wish or the Japan relief, I mean anything really. But yeah, the next thing on the news though is that guild transfers are coming. They're going to give the option to guild leaders or guild masters to transfer their guilds to a new server. And if you're a member of that guild, you can have the option to transfer over to the new server. Of course, you'd have to pay for it. But once you get over to the new server, the guild master can even change the guild's name, I guess. Everyone that changes over to the new server will be able to retain their reputation with the guild, and everything will be unchanged. So this is actually pretty nice. I think it's a nice compromise to all those people that really want to be able to do a guild transfer service, I guess, for a flat fee. They're not really quite doing that, but they are giving people the option if you're tired of your server, you do have the option to move to a different server. And so I think it's a good thing, even though it's not, what everybody wanted.
The nice part is you don't lose the guild rep and experience, which is so important now that they have that. So I could see that.
Yeah, last year I was a part of three guilds, and before we finally formed our guild that I'm in right now, and I can only imagine like how I would have felt if the current system was in play last year. I would have been like, just like, I want to quit the game, because you have to start all over every single time. So I think this gives everyone, maybe you're feeling the Cataclysm pull, and it's running rampant on the server, and you don't, know who to recruit anymore. Then maybe you want to switch to a different server and get, a different pool of people to play with,
Can I just say though, I actually don't think starting over is that bad. And this whole like starting the guild on Drenden thing, which I realized was kind of a show inside joke in the beginning, like it's actually been kind of neat to start from the ground up. I don't think it's been that bad. And you kind of think about the guild perks that you get as you level, and none of them are things that you need or are things that are going to give you
Well,
that big of
I
an
need that Phoenix mount. Talk to
Well,
me
I
about
mean,
that.
just like, yeah, the Phoenix Mount's a good example. I think that, when your guild accomplishes so much and Yeah, starting from scratch is one thing on a new character, but I wouldn't dream of switching my main to a different guild, especially since we've gotten so many perks to where I would feel like a, kind of like a grind, trying to go back through all of that. Like, even though it's been only 3 months or so, or 4 months, or however long, I think that I would still feel that way because 4 months is an eternity
Well, it
in
just
WoW.
it makes that choice, should I really leave this guild or not, kind of that much more important. But if not that I would ever leave the social guild that I'm in, but it's just like if I had to for whatever reason, I could do it, at the end of the world. I'd have my phoenix soon enough.
Right.
Maybe. In like 5 more years,
See, we're only
I
on
just
the
I'd have to do more of those freaking Tol Barad dailies every day to get my stinking rep up.
we just need the Nefarian kill, I believe. And isn't that one of the things on it, that you have to complete all of the Cataclysm dungeons and stuff?
Somebody in your guild does,
Yeah, so that's what we're riding on right now is the Nefarian kill. I'm pretty sure, because my sister, she's a part of the guild, but she doesn't raid, and she keeps reminding me, like, when are you guys gonna kill him? Because I want my Phoenix.
Seriously.
I'm like, you're not mooching off the guild successes, are you?
Wait, aren't you both healers? And she could like fill in for you and heal and
She wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do that. She doesn't like raiding. Oh my
And
God.
she'd use that excuse like, I have a baby that I have to take care of, and it's like, where are your priorities?
Yeah. Exactly. The last raid that she was in was an Ulduar raid when it first came out, and she absolutely hated the organization that happened when you had to fight go up against Flame Leviathan. It was like that whole thing that made her hate raiding, and ever since she's not been
You
back.
know what's
So
funny? I hated Ulduar too, but now going back and like revisiting it, I'm like, oh, Ulduar was actually kind of awesome. Like
I
it
love
just
Ulduar. I mean,
had a rough start.
It's my favorite instance, but I mean, Flame Leviathan is kind of but once you get past that, it's like everything's great. But yeah, the third thing on my list is they've given some more information on guild challenges, I guess, which I, to tell you the truth, haven't been too clued in on until I read this. I was assuming that guild challenges were like guild quests that you can get. Let me pull up the Blues response on it. Basically, they're saying Zarim, I can never pronounce the names right on this, posted on the forums that we haven't shared much information about this feature because it's remained very much in development. That said, we're about ready to release guild challenges for testing on the PTR soon. We'll also be sharing more information on how guild challenges work in the near future. They said that the guild challenges are built into the user interfaces. Guild challenges will be separated into three categories: guild dungeon run, guild run, and guild rated battlegrounds. You just need to be in a guild group to complete the cat each category a set number of times a week, earning your guild achievements experience above the cap, blah 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 blah. So I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me what these are. I guess maybe there'll be challenges that your guild can go up against with in regards to, battlegrounds, dungeon runs, or raids.
I think it's a way to get guild rep too. I think it's sort of trying to
Yeah.
help that out because it's sort of a pain in the butt to get guild rep right now.
Yeah, if you're a
Yeah, and they're saying that
low population guild, it's hard.
you can get gold, I guess, deposited into the guild vault and experience above the cap. So if you're already at your experience cap, I guess it's a way to actually gain more experience. Similar to Restbar experience, they're talking about how Restbar experience works and how, you complete quests, and if you complete a quest, you see your Restbar kind of move up, as opposed to just killing a bunch of mobs and then having your Restbar expire. That's what they're talking about there, but and that's pretty nice, but I still am interested on what these are. What are the challenges going to be? Which I didn't really get a lot of information on that from reading through the blue, unless I missed something. But
I don't know why I worry. It's just kind of like a glorified weekly. Like, remember
yes,
the weeklies
exactly.
in Dalaran, you know?
Yeah.
XT must die or whatever, you know?
That's what I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
I fear. fear.
I think so, too. I'm pretty sure that that's probably going to be what it is. And what kind of worries me is that the whole sentence, you just need to be in a guild group to complete each category a set number of times per week. I don't like that because, I mean, a set number of times per week doing the same thing over, like, I don't know. It just doesn't appeal to me. So, I don't know. Well, we'll see what it is, what mm-hmm. this actually is when they actually release the information on the PTR. But for now, I'm reserving judgment.
See, there's a part of me that actually thinks this could be really awesome, but I don't know. I'm just a little apprehensive. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But there's part of me that kind of goes like, well, if it was really random and the events were really like new things we haven't really experienced in game yet, this could actually mm-hmm. be kind of awesome. But there's a part of me that's just kind of like, I don't know why, but I just see this going really bad.
Customizable, almost like you were talking about with the Battlegrounds before, if maybe the guild master or any officers could go in and create the challenge, like they could pick PvE, PvP, maybe pick win a Warsong Gulch match, or maybe pick, like, you know, kill this boss or something. It would maybe be an incentive for people to do something they haven't done or get people more interested in another aspect of the game. But I fear, like you do, Rob, that it's going to be a glorified daily, weekly rather.
I actually really like that idea because I know that my guild sometimes likes to do really dumb things. Like we used to do the level 1 foot race from like the Night Elf starting area. Where do? Mm-hmm. We ran all the way to the lifts and Thousand Needles and they were still there. You know, stuff like that, just random things like that were really fun. So I like that idea of you could set up challenges with bounties or something and try to get more people interested. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's not much. I mean, other than, you know, the numerous hot fixes and patch updates with classes that are kind of, you know, not as big of a deal that they were when they first announced the patch. One of the things that does stand out to me in terms of patch notes for the public test realm is that Maelstrom crystals are now going to be available for purchase with honor or justice points from associated commodities vendors. So I think that's a nice thing because
I can only imagine the QQing that was coming from the enchanters of the world.
They're cutting the prices too by 50% for everything. So that's going to help a lot too, because they were way overpriced.
Oh yeah, that was really like your last resort on where to spend justice points. Like, okay, I have everything for both my specs. Okay, I guess I'll start getting ore, you know?
Right.
Yep, but that's it for the news.
All right, well, we'll sit here and anticipate 4.1 coming out any day now.
I'm just going to anticipate coming.
Any day that wants to come out. That can't. Well, I did hear on the public test realm they implemented the looking for guild tool is now, like, I guess, up and running. I think that was either yesterday or today.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see how they're going to test guild features on the public test realm very easily.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every problem they had with Cataclysm's release, well, not every problem, but a lot of it was around the guild leveling because nobody tests that stuff. Because
exactly.
How can you? You know, it's hard. So
it is hard. I don't know. A lot of these new things and these new UI features and everything, I think we've kind of gotten over their announcements, you know, with these new features. And I think it all started with the whole Real ID fiasco. You know, like when they first announce it, it sounds so great and like it's going to be a game changer. And, you know, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to talk to my friends. And then they release it and it's not all what you thought it was. And so now whenever they say things like they're going to release these guild challenges and they're going to release, you know, the new UI feature of looking for guild and stuff, I kind of just look at it and go, OK, big deal. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's going to be more of a letdown if I kind of feel hyped up about it. You know what I mean? So,
well, at the same time, Xtofer, if you set the bar low and then they do something really awesome, then it just makes
Woo-hoo,
I'm so excited. So,
exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, not everything's going to come into the game and be as awesome as the random dungeon finder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, We will see.
All right. Well, this is a good tie-in to our topic of the week. Every week here on Horde House, we like to just talk about one little topic and invite your emails and your feedback on the topic as well. You can email us at hordehousepodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet us about this topic, our twitter.com/hordehouse. Oh, yeah. We're also on Facebook now, facebook.com/hordehouse. I got to throw that out there, too. So anyway, topic of the week. And I thought this was appropriate because, you know, we're all podcast hosts here. You know, Michelle, our guest, is crossing over this week from her Warcraft Outsiders show. And so a lot of times on podcasts, we talk about the news. And even though, you know, we don't do a show every day, we can't really report on the news, we talk about the news. And I thought one topic we could talk about tonight is, what is the WoW news story you hope you never have to report on or talk about? What is the news story that you really hope you aren't having to bring up on the show? I guess you could look at this as like, what is the thing that you're kind of fearful might happen to the game? And you can be as serious or as like non-serious as you want. So that's the way the topic of the week works. So we invite your emails and so forth. But let's see what the hosts have to say on this. So Michelle, we'll start with you. What is the WoW news story? You know, Warcraft Outsiders got to come back someday, and you really hope this is not the first story you got to report on.
Well, hopefully, if it's that big of a story, if this was the story I was reporting on, I would actually report it on Video Game Outsiders, because this story would piss me off. And my biggest fear would be that they're selling epic or non-cosmetic items for money. So instead of mounts and pets, they moved into actually like, oh, get this sword, you know, or these bags or something that you like actually felt like you needed. That would really piss me off, especially gear. So hopefully they're never going to do that. They've said they're never going to, but I think they also said way back when they were never going to sell stuff for money. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I really hope so too. I really hope it's never XP bonuses.
Yeah.
Like I think that will just kill it for me.
They already have that, you know, recruit a friend thing where you get the crazy amount of XP where you're sort of buying. And I know a lot of people who just did that with themselves, like dual box.
Yeah. XP.
So people are sort of not really abusing the system. I mean, it's there for you to do what you want with, but they already are kind of like making it so you could pay for better XP. But if they start making it where you can pay for gear and, you know, stuff that's going to make you actually better in the game, that would really just turn me off, I think.
You know, and funny enough, I think I've said this on OLR as well as this show, is that the day that news story comes out, Horde House is canceled, you guys, because I'm canceling my WoW account. Because, I think the only way I would allow that is if then the game was free, because then you've essentially gone to the free MMO model, and now we're Lorto, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
they're already treading fences with the whole, you know, purchasable items anyways.
Michelle, I'm with you there. I really hope that never happens. But there's that part of me that goes, oh god, it's inevitable.
It might happen one day.
All right. Extifer, how about you? What is the one WoW news story you hope you never have to report on?
Druids have been discontinued and rolled into mages.
Ew.
They've just killed druids. I like
they're
that.
Like, we couldn't balance them, so we're just gonna make them wear cloth and call them mages from now on.
Well, you know,
enjoy your frost specs.
You know what's funny? What you're saying might not be too, I know you're kind of being silly, but it actually might not be too far from the truth, because there's been a lot of talk about what could the next hero class be if they do, you know, like Death Knight was, if they do another hero class. And a lot of people are saying Archdruid.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, how do you have an Archdruid and a nerf druid, or what are you going to call the old druids?
It's like, I don't get that either. I don't understand why people want the arch druid. I think that, you know, there are druids in the game that have the flavor name arch druid already. So what makes them more special other than carrying that name? I don't understand what makes them more of a breakout hero class.
See, there's a part of me that thinks maybe they've done everything they can with classes in WoW, but then at the same time, I would have never guessed the Death Knight class. I would have never,
I mean,
like, thought of that, you know?
They could come out with bards. They could come out with, you know, or a variation on the bard. Or, you know, they can come out with, you know, the Warden, I think, is another class in the old Warcraft games.
People wanted Archdruid because they really wanted a healing hero class. And I think that they should do a healing hero class, but maybe it should be something totally different, like almost how the monk used to be. Like, maybe it heals by doing, like, actual physical damage, or maybe it doesn't use mana as a resource. I think it should be something different. But I think, like you say, bringing out an Archdruid when there's already a druid, I don't like the idea of that, but I'm totally down with a healing healer. What is that? That's a tongue
A
twister.
healing
A hero
hero.
healing quest. Yes, exactly.
Hero
Say that five
healing
times.
Hustle.
Hey, who's racist now?
I'm not.
Blizzard.
You know, actually, I got to say, though, the bard thing, I don't know how that would fit into the Warcraft universe, but going back to my Final Fantasy XI days, because I did play that for several years before I couldn't take it anymore, and I went to WoW, I got to say, some of my favorite classes in there were the buffing quests, not just bard, but Corsair was an awesome class in that game, and it was one of the later classes they put in the game, but it was basically like a gambler type class. Your whole thing was throwing up cards that would be randomly from 1 to 7, and you would try to get as close to 11 as you could without going over. And as close as you got to 11 would increase the strength of the buff. And I know it sounds crazy as I'm saying it, but they were insanely fun to play. And other than that, they were basically pirates. They had guns and stuff and gamble. I mean, it was an awesome class.
I would love to see a buff class. I mean, I saw how powerful the bard was in Rift. And, you know, Shaman used to be like that. But the problem with Warcraft is they want everybody to be equal now. So they've totally changed it, you know, where it's like even hybrids have to be able to do competitive DPS, which I think they're right on par with the pure classes, I would say. I think sometimes people get a little too caught up in that. So I think they're just scared to not be uneven or not be unbalanced, rather. And we're not going to get to see anything cool like a bard buff class, because then alone they'd probably be too weak, right? I mean, or do you think they'll ever step outside of the box and do something fun like that?
I don't know. Maybe the new classes could be extensions to the classes we know that could separate things. And I hate to keep bringing up Rift, because to some people it's a really dirty word. But one thing I did kind of like about it was that you would pick your core class and then you could kind of expand within that class. And I could see WoW borrowing that idea. I mean, not like a carbon copy, but like, you know, maybe something where in the talent trees you really start to hone into these other classes, like as you go further down the trees. I mean, it would take another rehash of the talent tree system, but it's feasible. I don't know.
Right.
So as far as me, what is the WoW news story you hope you never have to report on? Okay. Real ID, right? Oh, my least favorite thing they've ever done to WoW. The Real ID, the story I hope I never have to report on. Now you can log into your Real ID account through Facebook.
Ugh.
But there's that part of me that's like, oh, they just, Blizzard loves Facebook and they want to be just like them. And there's that part of me that goes, oh God, please don't, you know.
Which I still don't understand why they're so into the social networking thing.
Well,
like,
I got to wonder if after the whole Real ID thing, they didn't back off of that a little bit. And now it's like, you know, maybe we should just go finish Diablo 3. Yeah, you should. So that is the one thing I hope I never have to report on. And just, you know, Real ID, there's things I like about it, and then there's things I really don't like. Like, I like being able to talk cross server, but I shouldn't have to do it with the name on my credit card. Just saying.
I agree.
Just saying. Yep. So, all right, let's get to some emails that were from last week's topic, and then some completely random stuff. I've got three emails tonight. Not a full mailbag, but we're running a little long tonight anyway. So hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. Last week's topic, just so you know, Michelle, it was, I love it when people in my pug groups blank. So we had some variety of answers there. And let me go to the first email from Hordehouse's number one fan, Flocko Jones, emailing us first off. I love it when people in my pugs listen. When I remind people in, say, Lost City of Tolvir, that if the soul fragments get to the phoenix, it will heal the phoenix and buff its damage, and they ignore my advice and we're about to wipe, my wife and I just leave the group and let them wipe without us. Have fun without a healer and tank, losers. Learn to read one sentence of strategy. P.S. I agree with Rob about an improved raid finder. I'm tired of hearing people say it wouldn't work because I know it would be better than the alternative of nothing, which is essentially the raid finder in the game right now. Yeah, that's so funny because I totally agree with Flacco's answer. And the answer I said last week, I love it when people in my pugs talk. So it's funny now that he's saying I love it when they listen, because it would seem like it's opposites, but they're really not. And I agree. Like, I was in a pug this week where the hunter just ran off and seemed to, like, do their own thing. And we were like, come back. We're pulling the mobs over here. And the hunter's just like, la, 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 I'm going to solo these elites with my, you know, spider or whatever, la, 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 doing my thing. And we just let him die. And it's like, and then he dropped group.
It always seems to be a hunter.
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't get that nickname for nothing.
Yeah. They didn't.
It does always seem to be 100, but you know, I can totally relate to his answer because I normally do I pug 3 DPS in heroics because my friend is a tank and I'm a healer, and you know, they just don't like, they don't listen to your advice. You know, we'll ask them like, does anybody not know this fight, speak up now, and you know, nothing, crickets. And then afterwards we wipe and they're like, oh yeah, didn't know I had to kill those adds.
Oh yeah, oh, I'm supposed to run something from those giant fire guys that make the big pillar. Yeah. Oh yeah, you might
exactly
do that. All right, well, how about an email from a hunter? This email's from
sorry, Hunter.
This email's from Holly D. Hey, all, this isn't really a question, just a funny hunter story I thought you might enjoy. Oh, your timing is impeccable, Holly. I was on my level 85 Nelf hunter before I wrote in about my level 62 hunter. That one's an orc. Double hunter alarm. Sound the double hunter alarm. And doing a quest to heal some griffins in Twilight Highlands. Out of the corner of my eye, I spotted a glowing blue shape, and I turned my camera. My mouth dropped open as I realized that the mob in question was a spectral wolf with a silver dragon portrait named Karoma. At first, I thought that said Corona, like the beer, but no, it's Karoma. This is only the second time I've ever seen a rare hunter pet up for grabs in the game, despite numerous attempts to stalk and catch one. The first was that bird in Sholazar Basin, which I attempted to tame, but someone else came up and killed. I made a beeline for the sparkly wolf. I immediately aggroed a nearby troll and snarled in frustration as I quickly slammed my keyboard, trying to smite it. I killed it in a few seconds and resumed running towards Karoma. He was in view again when my dungeon queue popped. I screamed, "Get off, get off, get off," and started clicking on the screen furiously, trying to leave the queue. Then once it was off, I started switching to Beast Mastery since I was in my MM spec. What is MM on a hunter?
Marksman.
Thank you. Marksman spec. I've never played one. I got close enough to tame him, and I dismissed my current pet, only to find that I had too many pets. In a panic, oh. I pulled... This is starting to sound like an episode of the Benny Hill Show. In a panic, I pulled up my stable and withdrew a shale spider I had just tamed the other day, quickly abandoning him. Then my husband came up behind me and scared the hell out of me, asking if I made anything for dinner. I angrily replied, "In the bloody fridge," and then turned back to the screen. Karoma was gone. My heart sank. Oh. Then I remembered, hey, I'm a hunter. Maybe I should try to hunt something. I turned on my beast tracking. Oh, happy day, I found him. I love that expression. People don't use it enough. Oh, happy day. The entire 10 seconds I was taming him, I was freaking out, trying to make sure no horde player snuck up on me. And then like that, it was over. I think that was probably the most exciting and stressful minute of the entirety of my playtime. So worth it, though. So I like that cute little story because I think we've all had those moments and wow, mm-hmm. where, you know, you just really tense up. And then like if mm-hmm. something like distracts you, like how dare the real world interfere with what I'm doing? It's just kind of like snap.
That's me during Arena. Don't talk to me. I will probably yell at you.
I hear that. Oh, yes. Boss fights and raids. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I love the people in my guild, and it's a very social guild. And granted, people are not as bad about this as they were when we first started. But, like, when we used to fight monsters, like, people would be talking about random stuff during the fight. And it's like, shut up. We've got to call out. Tanks have to swap.
That happens with our guild too, and like it's funny because whenever it does happen, there's always that one person who tries to keep driving a joke into the ground, mm-hmm. and it's like our guild master is getting a little bit annoyed, and you can hear it in her voice, and she's like, "Okay, retard, shut the f up!" Like after a amount of time, you know.
All right.
Oh, and by retard, I meant you know follow the dreams.
All right. Look. One more email for you guys from Mutant Boy. This email is really something. You're ready? Here we go. Hey, ladies. I like it when people discuss controversial topics and or make jokes about controversial topics in raid groups. My ex-fiance / roommate have matching DKs named Pitcher and Catcher. Bet you can't guess which one was mine. And oftentimes, people think we are actually a single person dual boxing it. Then we get an assortment of reactions. Everything from, "You guys are fags," to, "OMG, I love fags," has come up. We have even had a few discussions about gay rights before. I have a macro that I sometimes use in the beginning of a pug that says, "Hey guys, let's liven up this run and discuss something. The topic, a woman's right to choose. Go." I'm sorry, I have to step back for a minute. Like, is that not like the ultimate troll thing to do or what? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe some of the responses I have gotten. Some made me want to reach through the monitor and choke a bitch. Anyway, guys, keep up the fabu job. Shooting rainbows from my dick, sugar daddy, mutant boy.
He's gay. You know what they do? They have sex in the butt.
Stop.
Oh.
I think that's where the pitcher and catcher names come from, Extifer.
Sorry, I just...
I know. But look.
I just realized that I do that. Oh.
Now you're really grossed out.
But I got to say, I don't know if I would ever do that in a group, try to start up a controversial topic, but maybe if I was like really bored. But have any of you guys ever been in a pug where somebody wanted to like talk about something and you're just like, please don't. Please, please let's not.
Yes. I had somebody bring up like animal abuse or something, which is like just no can do in my book. Like they were talking about, so, like they just shoved their dog in a cage or something because they were bad at it. I was like, fuck no. I like threw it into food homes. Like I love animals. I love dogs. So yeah, I don't think I would do that either. Like it's one thing if it's my guildmates or my friends, but I'm not into like, you know, telling people personal stuff in a pug. Like casual conversation is fine, but I don't want to hear about their like, you know, their real life problems. Sorry. Exactly.
What's that old saying? You only have one chance to make a first impression. And I think just the other week I'd mentioned this on the show. I joined a pug group and the first thing the rogue says is, sup, N dot, 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 dot. You know what word I'm saying? You hear it on Xbox Live all the time, right?
Yeah.
Wait, Rob.
No,
Rob,
don't even go there. Rob, don't.
Wait. I just want to know what word is that?
It was nice people. That's what it was. Nice people. And
that's not controversial.
And I was just like, block. So,
right.
There you go. Because I'm like, really? That's how you're going to start your pug? So.
That's all you need to know about the
pug. Exactly. I'm like, well, I know exactly where this is going. So.
Yeah.
All right. That does it for the emails this week. If you want to email us for a future show, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to fire up the Twitter real quick here. I was really unprepared and forgot to load it beforehand.
I'll sing some good.
Please help us.
Rob is firing up the Twitter and he's going through the messages right now. He's about
I typed
to
in the wrong password.
Oh, he's typed in the wrong password. Ooh, are you done yet?
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Getting to some tweets here. I love it when Peaker Uno live blogs the show. So we have some live blogs from Peaker Uno. And let's see. I thought this was interesting. Topic of the week. I can't answer this. I don't pug. I find that interesting that some people, even with the Dungeon Finder, will still refuse to pug. I mean, do whatever you want with the game. It's cool, but I'm still kind of surprised that some people don't. I mean, I guess you can level through questing the whole way 1 to 85, but I would wonder if Picaruno does Battlegrounds, because I would think it's just as bad. Sometimes the conversation in Battlegrounds is even worse. Like, we didn't even talk about that when we were talking about pugs, but Battlegrounds can be, like, especially in the 40 mans, which I know I just confessed to enjoying so much, they can be bad. You know, you get the same stuff there.
That's where the bad side of me comes out. Like, I'm pretty good in PvE, but if there's somebody like on a flag and they're watching like the opposing faction click it and they don't do anything, but I can see them from far away, I might call them an idiot. Like, that's where the bad side of me comes out, I have to admit.
If calling someone an idiot's like the worst thing that you're going to do, Michelle, that doesn't seem so bad.
Okay. All right.
Gosh darn you, you imbecile.
You loser. Yeah. No, I will straight up insult them.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to say it.
Peaker Uno, in response to the Karazhan Love Fest we were having going on the show last week, said, how about Karazhan in space?
How about it?
How about just plain old Karazhan?
I love Karazhan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome to the
that
show.
My,
you fit right in.
Yeah, that was like my first real raid too. And I that place was epic. It was like a haunted, spooky little mansion. You can't top that.
There you go.
There's no way.
Let's see, one other tweet. I love this one because this is from Pod Culture, and I have to give him a special shout out because without Pod Culture, we wouldn't have a hordehouse.com. So I really want to give a special shout out to Brad from Pod Culture. And if you like sci-fi stuff at all, like if you like the Doctor Who stuff, or especially Whedon stuff, you like your Firefly, Buffy, I know that's you, Extifer, you should listen to Pod Culture. It's podculture.com. They do a great show over there.
I'll go there now.
And I think this is the ultimate compliment. Listening to Hordehouse. Don't understand a damn thing they are talking about since I don't play WoW, but the show is still a hoot.
Aww.
I thought that was very nice.
We always like that too. We'd get people who just probably for you, they like OLR and they're listening to this because of it. That was always like the most interesting thing to me when people would listen that didn't play Warcraft, but they just want to hear you guys talk.
Yeah, it's a really
it's not bad
neat thing. And you know, even though maybe you don't play WoW, I mean, you kind of you know what an MMO is basically like. If you play any video games, if you've ever played an RPG whatsoever, it's kind of like an RPG that never ends. You know,
right?
You know, if you really want to just hear my voice, you can call 1-800 fuck my goblin.
Ooh, you should start that.
You should.
I should.
Make some money.
I'd be like, can I lighten your coin purse or
coin
whatever
purse?
They say?
Yeah, your coin, the coin purse is what you want to lighten. Yeah, yeah, sure. That's what they're calling it now. Mm-hmm. All right. That does it. We're done with emails. We're done with tweets. So that does it until next week as far as that stuff goes. And believe it or not, we're getting towards the end of the show. Oh, sad. But it's been a little long tonight, and Michelle needs to get to her battlegrounds, and I need to get to leveling my priest, and Extra needs to get to...
We
shouldn't say.
Dot, dot, dot.
So anyhow, this is the part of the show where we go around and get everybody's final thoughts for the night. And I'll start with Michelle tonight. Michelle, thank you so much for being here. And please, guys, check out Video Game Outsiders that's still going and Warcraft Outsiders when they come back and buy her book. And is there anything else I can plug, Michelle?
No, just if you want to know more about me, you can follow me on Twitter at Coastal Michelle.
Awesome. Sounds good. Do you have a final thought for us tonight? One little like remember Jerry Springer always had the final thought at the end of every episode. We like to do that. So do you have a final thought tonight?
I feel good after tonight. I feel like, you know, my opinions, like you guys agreed with most of them. And sometimes I think I'm crazy when I, you know, like for hating AV or something. But to hear Christopher agree with me just made me feel good.
Well, I still disagree with you for what it's
worth. That's true. We're not going to talk about that.
Sometimes it's nice to be validated.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you come on back anytime, Michelle. We had a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I'll do my final thought next. So my final thought is I switched from vitamin water to life water from Sobe because it was on sale, and I got to say this Fuji apple pear, delicious.
Mm.
Delicious.
Mm.
Extrafer, your final thought tonight.
I don't have a final thought, but I thought I'd sing the song, 'cause I'm really, really bored, and I'm dying from MS. Woo!
You are not dying.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Did they check you for Tourette's, too? Just curious.
You know, fuck you!
All right, and on that note...
And your Horde House!
That's going to do it for another week of Horde House, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Episode 20 next week. Woo-hoo. Bye. Woo.